Welcome to The Way In, hosted by Scotty Cash and Jay Ross.
Hey, everybody. It is The Way In.
Okay, then.
I was yawning.
Good job.
That's actually our new entrance. Okay. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, let's start the show off with a bang there.
It is The Way In with Jay Raz, joined, as always at this point, by Political Agenda.
As always. Doesn't feel like I've done one for, like, 6 months. Or
you were on the last one.
Or
you were
week,
on before.
A week or two. You know, same deal, dude.
Political Agenda, you can catch a new column every week about the different nuances of wrestling with Frustratum called Wrestling with My Sanity.
Yep.
We've got a new one up from last week's Impact, which is a highly entertaining read. I do suggest to any and everyone who enjoys, you know, skatey, that's the word I'm looking for, retort on professional wrestling. Okay. We're here to talk about MMA, though.
MMA. Martial art.
Yeah. UFC 120 just happened this past weekend. It was live-ish, free on Spike.
I actually watched that one, too.
Crazy, me too.
I know, right?
I watched the live version online, and then, I watched part of the tape-delayed version that was on Spike later, because they did switch it up a bit.
I DVR'd it, watched it Sunday night.
Yeah, it's a good choice. There's 800,000 commercials on those Spike shows, so probably made it a little easier to get through.
Yep.
Then you probably got to fast-forward through Cain Velasquez being boring. Yeah, I'm a Mexican, and I'm just fighting, and I'm in Brock Lesnar. Like, why are my coaches to talk for me? I don't talk.
They just know not to talk to Cain Velasquez by now.
You'd think. The last primetime special tonight, I think they're going to be in Los Angeles at this point, getting ready for the show, so maybe we'll get to see more of Brock Lesnar than other than him training. UFC 120 went down. We'll go over some results here. Michael Bisping did defeat Sexy Ama. Unanimous decision. I guess it was a good fight.
I really enjoyed it.
It started out with Akiyama almost leveling him with a right, and I was like, yeah, he recovered. Because I was really hoping for every British fighter to lose on the card. We were damn close.
That'd have been awesome.
But Bisping came back to have his pillow hands lightly tap Akiyama in the head for 3 rounds.
I guess.
To get the
I kept going back and forth on that. Because on one hand, I'd like to see, I'm not a huge Sexy Ama fan. Actually, no, I am a huge Sexy Ama fan, because he's the only middleweight that I like.
Because he doesn't cut?
Yeah, because he doesn't cut, you know. I mean, the Japanese people don't cut, you know, they fight at the weight they walk around at. So, but then, like, I also kind of felt bad, cause, like, you know, Michael Bisping got his stuff wrecked when he fought Dan Henderson.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of, and you don't want to see, like, I always feel bad for somebody in front of their hometown, you know, if he had gotten wrecked again, you know what I mean? So, like, every time, whoever was winning, like, I would start to feel bad for the other guy. Like, oh, I hope he comes back and catches a knockout out of nowhere.
My problem with Bisping right now is that he thinks he's really close to a title shot.
Might as well be.
Every interview, he's like, I got, like, one solid win away. And then I got my title shot, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, I think it's a wish fulfillment thing, you know. Maybe if he says it enough, it'll come true.
Well, see, look at the last two wins. Dan Miller, who was on a 2-fight losing streak, and then Akiyama, who was on a 1-fight losing streak. And really, people think it's probably a 2-fight losing streak, who's not even a big light or welterweight.
Listen, dude, a lot of guys who get title shots have less, you know, accolades than him. I mean, he's been around a while. I mean, he's a big star.
Yeah, true.
Just because he's, you know,
yeah,
been around a while, and because he can talk, you know, whatever. I mean, he's a mid-range fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
put him in there with any of the real top middleweights, and he's going to get wrecked.
But, you know what? All the real top middleweights have gotten wrecked against Anderson Silva anyway, so,
why
I mean,
not?
You know.
Why not? But,
put the fight together. I mean, sometimes you got to put together those fights just to get something different, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to see him fight the guy he just fought.
Markert? No, Chael Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen,
he's been out for a while.
You know, everybody wants to see that fight again, but I mean, anybody else they put in there would be just as hypeable as if they put Michael Bisping in there.
I will say Bisping's got more goal for him currently in the middleweight division than Silver's next challenger and Vitor Belfort, who has never won a middleweight fight in the UFC.
See?
So in that case, yeah, absolutely. He's got way more accolades than him.
Yeah.
But if Belfort and Bisping fought, I would see a huge knockout in the favor of Belfort.
Probably.
So, Carlos Condit did ruin a British fighter's night flooring Dan Hardy. That was a really, really good knockout.
That was awesome.
And it was an inch away from being a double knockout.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was very happy.
They both threw left hooks, and Hardy's did not land as well as Condit's.
Yeah. I didn't realize I disliked Dan Hardy that much until I saw him get flattened.
Yeah.
Like, I jumped up and cheered, and I was just like, you know, I mean, I don't really know who Carlos Condit is. I know he was, like, at UWEC because they told me or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I've heard you mention the name before, too.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, I was just like, whatever, you know, this hopefully they'll just throw and somebody will get knocked out. But then when Dan Hardy got knocked out, I jumped up.
You're like, yeah!
Yeah, take that!
And then he got punched two more times on the ground just for good measure.
Yep.
Yeah, I was super happy when that happened. I was like, oh man, I'm going to rewatch this again later just so I can see that happen again. I'm like you in the fact that I'm a big fan of the knockout. Now I do prefer certain people to win over others, but if there's a good knockout, I'm like, yeah, that made me feel good inside. Also on the card, a draw happened between Chuck Congo and Travis Brown. Congo is probably the biggest cheater in MMA right now. If he's not kneeing somebody in the balls, he's holding their shorts, even though he's told continuously not to. So that fight was okay for the first round and boring for the next two. Mike Pyle did beat up John Hathaway, which was one of the biggest upsets of the night.
I got to go back to the Congo thing real quick.
Okay.
The thing that got me about that, I mean, you could cheat, whatever, you know. When you're in a fight, you're in a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you don't follow the rules of that fight, I can understand it because your adrenaline's pumping and you're just trying to win. He was beating that guy up pretty good. He didn't need to cheat. You know, it's not like he was, you know, that's what I didn't get. Like, he was just, like, it was just more like he was lazy. Like, every time he'd start to fall over, he'd grab that guy's tights and the ref would yell at him.
Yeah.
You know, because he was kind of, like, I mean, obviously they're heavyweights, so they're terrible, terrible fighters. You know, so there's nothing exciting going on in that fight to begin with, but, like, you know, Congo was pretty much beating that guy up. And
he would have won the fight had he not continuously had shorts.
Right.
And need him in the balls at one point.
Right.
Anyway,
Mike Pyle
looks great.
Man.
He is a journeyman fighter. He's been around forever and came in with the UFC some decent hype and then got knocked or choked out and the hype was gone. But now he takes out a rising star in John Hathaway. His stock is pretty high right now in the UFC. So, good for him.
If I was a fighter, he'd have got stabbed. Like, he didn't do anything unfair. I would just, like, I see a lot of times in matches I'll see a situation where I'm like, you know what, even if I was like a professional fighter, that would make me angry. And at one point, Mike Pyle puts him in a mounted triangle.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah.
But it's mounted triangle. So literally, all Hathaway could do was lay there and get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what Mike Pyle did. And from an outsider perspective, yes, that's exactly what Mike Pyle should have done. If I had been in that hold, I'd have tapped out, gone over to my corner, gotten a screwdriver, and stabbed Mike Pyle in the throat. That's all I'm saying, because that would have made me angry.
It was fun, but a decent enough fight. James Wilkes sucks that he lost. That's a big bust as far as the Ultimate Fighter winner. He's now 1-2 in the UFC. You're doing good, bud. And then James McSweeney sucks, and he got KO'd, hopefully out of the UFC, because he's rocking a 4-6 record. How he's allowed in the UFC, I'll never know. But 4-6, he can't belong to this world. It's not official yet. Bonuses, $60,000 going to Michael Bisping and Akiyama for their more forth than back and forth, but their fight.
Deservedly so.
Knockout of the night went to Carlos Condit, of course. And then
submission
of the night went to Paul Sass. You didn't see, but he put on a triangle. Or you did see, it was on the show. That was ridiculous. He literally, that's all he went for. Like, pull him down triangle for the 2 minutes that lasted. We'll be back with more MMA news.
You're listening to The Weigh-In from LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com.
And we're back. The Weigh-In. You were saying that you think submission of the night should be broadened. Not necessarily it's a finish, but most unique submission of the night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Paul Sass won because he got the guy in a triangle. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not rare. It's not terribly impressive. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it was a desperation. You know, Anderson Silva's triangle to beat Chael Sonnen is a submission of the night.
Yeah.
You know, random, you know, first 2 minutes, you know. When you're in a fight and the only thing you try to do is get a triangle and then you beat the guy with the triangle, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider that submission of the night. I mean, I guess it was. But I think it should be broadened so that, like, Mike Pyle could have gotten it just for applying that mounted triangle, because that was awesome.
Which should have been a finishing maneuver.
Yeah.
The ref was like, he's not hurting him enough, although technically what Hathaway wasn't defending himself at all.
Yeah.
He's like, well, still getting punched in the head.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't grab my arm and bend it the other way.
Yeah, no joke.
Okay, so that was that. UFC 120 in the books. Now we'll move on to the biggest show this part of the year, UFC 121.
Good job.
We'll go over that in detail soon. Here's my quick review of 120. Thank God it was free. If I had to think about paying for it or go somewhere that's not without watching it at home, I would have been upset. Do you have a nugget of truth for us for bringing that back?
Yes.
All right.
A nugget of truth is that it's time for all these UFC guys to accept that Brock Lesnar is the man. Okay? Saturday, he's like... Oh, It's ridiculous after his fight with Shane Carwin that anybody thinks that, you know, Velasquez is gonna beat him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because they're still not ready to accept like cross sports superstars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, everybody laughed at James Toney, you know. Deservedly so, mind you, but like nobody even, you know. I mean, I didn't even hear anybody go, well, there is a chance that he could knock him out, except for James Toney's people. You know what I mean? Like, and there was. I mean, he's a professional boxer. I mean, he's made a living off of being a boxer.
Yeah.
You know, there is the possibility that he could have knocked Randy Couture out.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Brock Lesnar, on the other hand, has dominated people.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated some of the best that the heavyweight division has ever seen. You know, and by that I mean
Frank Mir.
Yeah.
Let's even call it Shane Carlin. He was didn't necessarily dominate in the first round. Second round.
Yeah.
Domination.
You know what I mean? And now you've got, but still, they all think that Shane Carwin is going to win.
Shane Velasquez?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shane Velasquez. One of them guys.
Yeah.
They still think that Mexican is going to beat him. He's outpowered. He's outsized. He's going to get out-wrestled. They say he's a better wrestler. No, he's not. Brock Lesnar, you know, Brock Lesnar achieved the pinnacle of...
Wrestling.
Yeah, you know, collegiate wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, short of going to the Olympics, he did the best you could possibly do. Twice.
Yep. Well, thing I don't understand, as I've been reading all these different interviews with different fighters and watching videos online, and they interviewed, like, Frank Shamrock, and a bunch of people from Strikeforce, because, you know, what is that better to talk about than the UFC?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, Cain Velasquez is going to get him. He's going to knock him out. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
The one impressive knockout he has on his resume, does Cain Velasquez, is an aging and decrepit Nogueira.
Yeah.
And if you watch that fight, clearly he was a lot faster than Nogueira, but I'm pretty sure I'm faster than Nogueira.
Yeah, well, everybody.
But I'm a fatty.
Well, yeah. You know,
I don't beating him to the punch isn't great, and they show that knockout on the prime time and everything else. Velasquez gets tagged with a shot and happens to swing his arms in the right direction to go to the knockout.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm completely with you. I don't see there being a way for Velasquez to win. I mean, it's MMA, anything can happen, but he's not a great jiu-jitsu guy like Frank Mir. Brock's not inexperienced to let his leg get caught. He's double his size, double his power. They're all like, oh, we're gonna take him in deep waters. We're gonna outgas him. No, you're probably not.
Yeah.
Like, now, granted, I realize professional wrestling and MMA is a different beast. Brock wrestled like 60 minutes a couple of times, you know?
Yeah.
Was he gassed? I don't think so.
Yeah, Brock's got cardio.
Yeah. So, I'm completely with you on that nugget of truth there.
So, I suppose, I don't exactly know how to boil that down to a nugget. I suppose it would be, it's time for the MMA guys to start taking cross sports superstars seriously, because they're a sport of cross sports superstars.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that is what it is.
Yeah, you know.
UFC 125 has officially became official. Tickets are on sale. It's going down New Year's Day on the 1st of January. It's UFC 125 Resolution. And you're thinking, man, I can't even remember the last time they put a title in front of or after the UFC part. Who's main eventing it? Oh, Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard. Take nothing away from either guys. They're the best at the sport at their weight class. They are not names that are going to sell a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
UFC and Resolution probably will.
Yeah.
So that's the main event for the lightweight title. Frankie Edgar looks to successfully defend it for the second time. Going against, again, undefeated Gray Maynard. Shane Carwin will be taking on Roy Nelson in the co-main event over the evening. Also on the card, Clay Guida versus Takanori Gomi in what will undoubtedly be the fight of the night. Chris Leben hoping to stay on the winning track to make it 4-for-4 in the fiscal year of 2010. Technically, that'll be 2011. Taking on Brian Stann, which is a huge step down.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking that. Like, how did he go from like fighting guys
co-main
in 2 weeks,
event, yeah.
fighting Sexyama,
yeah.
you know, like co-main, you know, and now he's fighting some guy I've never heard of.
Well, he's a light heavyweight that dropped out. Your
I
favorite guy.
Hate light heavyweight. I hated Chris Leben to begin with. Now he's a middleweight. I hope he goes and gets knocked out by Anderson Silva. Again.
He's only been middleweight, just to clarify.
Who?
Chris Leben.
Only been middleweight?
Yeah, he's only fought in...
Oh, Brian Stann is a...
Brian Stann's a
guy
down, yeah.
Whatever, that doesn't help me. I thought he was light heavy on the show.
Who? Chris Leben? No.
Yeah.
He was the biggest middleweight on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He still didn't win. Diego Sanchez, a lightweight one.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz will be taking on Danyan Kim. That is, of course, if Danyan Kim doesn't pull out, as he was originally supposed to fight Dan Hardy at UFC 120. So... That may or may not happen. Nate Diaz should be there regardless. And on the prelim portion of the card, Brandon the Truth Vera taking on Thiago Silva.
Uh-oh.
How they have fallen.
Uh-oh.
They're on the
I'd say how Thiago Silva has fallen.
Yeah.
How Brandon 13. Vera has not stepped up.
Yeah.
He was a rising star. Oh, no, he's not.
Well, look at this. A year ago, Thiago Silva main evented the same card.
Yeah.
And now, he's not even on the main portion of the card. Okay, he's been out with some injuries, but even his last fight was scheduled to be prelims.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll put on Spike. I'd like to see that fight. It hypothetically should be good. If Brandon Beard decides to show up.
I bet somebody gets wrecked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be a good fight to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
We're running low on time. We're coming back and do our in-depth preview of UFC 121. Although we did already talk about Lesnar and Velasquez, there's lots of other great fights for us to discuss. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weigh-In from Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Is that how I started out the first one?
I don't know.
It's The Way, and we're back from our brief commercial break. Hopefully, telling you about all the other good stuff on the PopCultureNetwork.com website. News, toys, games, eventually movies and TV, maybe one day. I was going to get into one tidbit of news before we get onto our in-depth preview of UFC 121, Lesnar Velasquez this weekend. Jose Aldo, the WEC featherweight champion of the world, was apparently offered and turned down a UFC 155 fight against, what is his name? Caporian.
There you go.
So you said you were like, oh, well, I don't know that guy. And I said he would wreck Caporian's day, and you got happy.
Yeah, well, I can't be mad at anybody who's going to wreck Caporian's day. You've got to enjoy it.
But again, this fight not quite happening yet. Looks like next time we'll see Jose Aldo in action will be in January, defending his belt successfully, and then hopefully moving up to the UFC. All right, UFC 121 time. It is this Saturday. It is live on pay-per-view. It is starting out with Spike TV prelims. The first fight on the Spike TV prelim portion will be Filthy Mauler, Tom Lawler, taking on the Predator, Patrick, I'm not that good, Cote. I say that because he got a title shot for some reason or the other, like broke his tibia during the fight.
Yeah.
And was out for a while, and he got beat up by Alan Belcher, and now he's on the prelims.
Yep, happens.
It does. Tom Lawler needs a win. Both these guys really need a win. They're both rocking 2-fight losing streaks, so potentially one of these guys might not longer be with the company. So.
Let's hope.
No, I like Tom Lawler.
Let's hope it's Patrick Cote.
He's right. That's pretty good. That didn't go be Strikeforce champion.
Yep.
I am confident in saying anyone that cast off in the UFC could become a Strikeforce champion.
But apparently none of them want to be.
Then,
lest we forget that.
Yeah, Dean himself keeps her. Dean's like, I'll fight anywhere that isn't Strikeforce so I can one day get back to the UFC in my five fight.
No joke.
He's fighting December against some no-name or the no-name. No-name.
Yeah.
No-name.
Who cares? He's a no-name.
Exactly. Also on the Spike TV portion, tough 11 winner. I think it's Court McGee. Takes on some dude, I think is Ryan Jensen. I care so little about this fight, it's painful.
Impeccable information gathering there, my friend.
I could have gathered the correct information, but I think it's funnier to go the top 11 winner some guy versus some other dude.
Yep. I'm not disagreeing.
So the Spike TV portion has one really cool fight about, and then the top 11 winners are. Hopefully both of those fights end quickly and we get some other undercard action. Because there's some other decent stuff that we're not even going to talk about because there's not time.
Great.
We need to in-depth talk about Brendan Schaub versus Gabe Gonzaga. Gabe Gonzaga one time fought for the heavyweight title. He got dismantled by Randy Couture, but at one time he fought for the heavyweight title.
Hold on, it's important to amend. Only because he got a lucky knockout over Krokop.
True.
Okay.
Very true. But with that being said, Gabe Gonzaga is probably the stiffest test of Brendan Schaub's young MMA career, outside of course Roy Nelson. Brendan Schaub's on a 2-fight winning streak, both knockouts within the first 2 minutes. So he's looking
to happens to Gabe Gonzaga.
Gabe Gonzaga coming off a loss.
Fire Gabe Gonzaga.
True, he's somebody who definitely needs to be fired.
No joke.
He's overpaid because of his one huge win, and now he's barren wasteland of no good.
Yep.
His last win, I believe, is over the double awful Chris Cheshire, who you might remember from the Brock Lesnar primetime special as being that blonde guy getting beat up.
Yep.
I got to pick Schaub all day here. Probably another first round knockout loss to against Gabe Gonzaga. He was again knocked out by Junior Dos Santos, which is not a small thing to say. Everyone gets knocked out by Junior Dos Santos, but again, I'm picking Schaub here.
Hopefully.
Hopefully,
fingers crossed.
Super Schaub. Next up, we have Paulo Thiago, the one-time title contender. What's the word? Contender?
Sure.
When they're in the mix,
yeah.
The contender, against Diego Sanchez. He moved up to from 155 to 170 in an unsuccessful bid against John Hathaway. They're giving him another shot again. Paulo Thiago coming off a loss to Martin Campman. They're both guys in need of a win. Neither guy even remotely close to being cut. But a win would definitely put them in the right direction.
I wish they were, though.
Diego Sanchez.
Diego.
He'll be cut back down to 155 if he wants to.
Whatever.
This is a tough one to call. I think this is the hardest one for me to pick in the entire card. I'm going to pick Thiago, though. Follow.
Yeah.
I think he's got the size and the jujitsu going for him. He's good enough at avoiding wrestling that I think he'll either knock him out. Probably not knock him out. Diego Sanchez is tough that way, but I think he'll submit him. Next up, we have Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach I Used to Be Relevant Boy, versus Matt the Hammer Hamill.
Yep.
A student versus teacher, they're kind of trying to build
play
it
up that angle.
But
yeah.
The thing is, they're like, shoot, Tito Ortiz, does he even really care anymore?
Nope.
So he's on the main card just because his name's Tito Ortiz. Hamill's on a win streak. Tito Ortiz is not. I'm picking Hamill.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's fair. I think people probably care about Tito Ortiz. Yeah, I mean he is a name and he was a star for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
People are more likely to show. No, I'm picking Matt Hamill. I'm just saying it's not fair to necessarily call him irrelevant or anything. Well, I mean it's not fair to say nobody cares about Tito Ortiz because they probably do.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting one again. We're both picking Hamill here. Next up is co-main event Jake Shields making his long-awaited UFC debut against Martin the Hitman Campman. Tough fight here. Both guys are on winning streaks. Shields coming off of the big win over Dan Henderson. Campman over Paulo Thiago. Campman's been in the UFC for a while. He's used to, being in a good organization that is money making. Shields is tough. He's a great wrestler, good on jiu-jitsu. Campman hits hard, also good at jiu-jitsu. This one probably will go to decision. I'm going to say Shields ekes it out.
I hope Campman wrecks his face.
Okay, so the three hope, who do you think will win?
I guess I'm going with Camden.
All right, the first one we're split on. And we already talked in depth about why we think Brock Lesnar will win, how we think he'll win, second round knockout, and why Cain Velasquez is just on.
I don't know if I think Cain Velasquez will make it out of the first round.
You don't think?
Nah. Unless Brock's playing it really, really safe.
Brock's only finished one fight in the first round. That's why I'm picking second.
Well,
I guess it's been six fights. But
what fight did he finish in the first round?
A fight that wasn't in the UFC.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So I'm picking the second round. I am picking TKO, technically, but KO, whatever. Again, we talked, like I said, ad nauseum about Lesnar, why he will destroy him. Are you going to watch it live?
I don't know. It depends.
I am. I have to. This is a big enough card. And it's Lesnar. I haven't actually missed any Lesnar fights yet. I've ordered probably two or three of them. Going to make a third one here, if it hasn't already been. Should be a really, really good card, all things considered.
Yeah, a solid card top to bottom, really.
And the rest of the year for UFC is pretty stacked. 2 weeks after this, we got the free card 122, which is the worst-looking card in the history of MMA. Shortly thereafter, we have 123, which is Rampage versus Machida, another good card. And then there's a free Spike finale for the Ultimate Fighter, and then 124, and then at the beginning of the year, 125. So all that in less than 2 months.
Yep.
That's five cards. And about 45 games.
Okay. Well, Berman spills out eventually.
There's a Strikeforce card in there.
Great. A couple Bellator.
There's a Bellator one tomorrow night, which has Eddie Alvarez taking on. Exactly. Anyway, I'm going to watch it because I like MMA. Anything else you want to add to our wonderful podcast here?
Nope.
We are out. Thank you for listening to The Weigh In. Hope you enjoy the fights. And as always, we'll see you next week.